message today from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 21. And I've entitled the message today, Beautiful Feet. And I'm reminded of the story that I heard, and it's kind of a visual thing, so I'll have to come over. But there was a young man in college who thought that it would be that he would get an easy grade because he heard about this ornithology class. And you guys know ornithology is the study of birds, right? And so with that, with this ornithology class, he was excited about taking this class because the teacher only required that they take a final. And he goes, well, great, that's a final, that's great. I don't have to take all these tests, these quizzes, no homework, nothing. Just the final exam. So he goes into class, of course he takes notes and he reads the textbook like he's supposed to, and he learns about all these different birds and about the different plumages, the different colors. He can identify the difference between a finch and a sparrow. He knows the difference between an egret and a heron. He even knows that snipe do exist. Yeah. And he learns about the different types of ducks and the different types of, the birds of prey, the difference between, you know, the falcon and the hawk and all of this stuff. And he learns about all the warblers and their different songs and all of this. So he's ready for this final. He has done all diligence. So he goes to class, and of course his teacher was very monotone. Okay, class. Today we're going to take the final. And this was the type of teacher that really didn't engage with the students. He just came in, kind of looked at his notes, lectured, and walked out. I'm not going to make any Dave jokes. But he was that type of teacher that just kind of did that. And so the final is taking place, and the teacher comes, and he puts 5 birds on this table. But there's a cover on each bird, and the student, of course, gets really excited, going, oh, this ought to be easy. There's 5 birds up there. He's going to pull the covers off. I've studied about all these birds. This is going to be an easy final. And so the teacher gets up and says, okay, class, today for your final exam, I want you to identify these 5 birds just by their feet. And he sat down. And the student was really frustrated. He spent all this time studying about the different plumages and all this other stuff, and this is ridiculous because he is supposed to take this final based upon what these birds' feet look like. And he started to think about it, and of course he picked up an offense. What happens when that happens? We start to fume about it, right? And then of course it builds up, and then finally he couldn't have contained this offense much longer. He stood up and he says, you know, teacher, this is the lamest thing I have ever done. I did all this studying. I know my classmates did all this studying. We paid attention to all these different colors of birds and all this stuff, and you show up and you want us to identify these birds by their feet? You are a stupid professor. And the professor's like, oh, son, what's your name? And so he hiked up his pant legs and said, you tell me. That's the joke.
Oh.
But with that, I was reminded of that joke. Shane's like, oh, I came for this. Because of that verse that talks about beautiful feet. We should be able to look at our brothers and sisters' feet and see beautiful feet. Amen? And something that I've always taught is that we all have different types of gospel shoes. We have good news shoes. Some people are more comfortable in sneakers. Some people are more comfortable in boots. Some people are more comfortable in sandals, especially after they have a pedicure. Right, ladies? Yeah, look at my beautiful feet. But you know what? God's Word talks about beautiful feet. And I look at the different shoes as really our different testimonies that we all have that we can use in sharing the gospel, right? Very important, very important. So with that, let's talk a little bit about beautiful feet. And beautiful feet start with a beautiful message. What is the message? If you declare with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, or Adonai, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a beautiful message. And you know, if you look at the Jewish perspective in this verse, basically it's this.
To acknowledge verbally that Yeshua is Adonai implies committing oneself to obedience to Him. When you make that declaration, you're saying, hey, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to follow the Shema. And of course, faith, which is belief, must be accompanied by what? By the conviction in one's heart that Yeshua has been resurrected. So when you make a verbal declaration that Yeshua is our master, we are bound by our words to follow the directives of the Torah and act like a servant needs to act. This verbal declaration must be accompanied also by the belief in the resurrection. You have to have both of them together. Any other belief in Yeshua or anything else that does not have the resurrection of Yeshua is not a valid belief. Think about it. There's people that teach Jesus all over the place, but do they teach the Jesus of the Bible? No. You know, there's some religions that teach that, well, you know, Jesus is really not God. He's actually the firstborn, and he's a brother of man, and his brother's with Satan. He's brothers with the angels. Yeah, exactly. He comes from the planet Kolob. You know, that's not Jesus. Other than there's this one group that says, hey, you know what? Michael the archangel saved us. What? It really wasn't Jesus who died on the cross. It was Michael the archangel. I don't find that in Scripture. So we have to, of course, have faith in what is true. And that leads us to a relational word study. It's fact that in Paleographic Hebrew, words that start with the same letters, because of the symbols that were used, they relate to each other. So all the words that start with Aleph relate to one another. And in this case, with faith, it's that word Emunah, Aleph and Mem. And I find it interesting that faith, what's another word that starts with Aleph and Mem? Truth. You have to have faith in the truth. Because faith in something that isn't true, it's null and void, right? You know, I could have faith in the dry erase board in the back of the room. Is that the true and living God? No. I can have all the faith in the world that will get me saved. But the truth of the matter is, it will not. It's only faith in Yeshua. It's belief in Yeshua. And it's interesting that that word Aleph, the symbol that is there, it's a bull's head, which stands for strong, powerful, or leader. And it's followed by Mem, which is a water sign, mighty and blood. And some will translate it as chaos as well. So, with both faith and truth starting with an Aleph and a Mem, they both start with the strongest, most powerful leader and are followed by the mighty blood. Do you see the symbolism that's going on here? The mighty, powerful leader followed immediately by the blood. So we must have faith in truth that is only by the blood of a mighty strong leader, Yeshua, can someone be saved. It's only by faith and truth in that. It's in nothing else. And nothing else. And this passage continues in Romans. It says, for a person believes with his heart and is justified, and a person declares with his mouth and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes will not be ashamed. Belief in the heart, that's the same as justification. And I've heard it explained, it's just as if I'd never done it. But really, justification, we find that in Genesis 15:6, we find how justification takes place. When it says, then Abraham believed in Hashem, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. It is only God who can change a man's heart. And it's only when man allows to do so, then it happens. You know, I remember I used to have very much codependent tendencies. If that were, I was a fixer. I thought that people would like me if I could fix their problems. I'll fix you. I'll help you. I'll get in there. I'll take care of you. You know, I basically became a chameleon. What do you want me to be? I'll be that so I can do that for you. And now, it's like, oh, wait a second here. It's only God who can change someone's heart. I can't. So what is my role? Because my heart is still very caring in this area where I want to see people fixed. I want to see people justified. Am I the justifier? No. Are you the justifier? No. Who is the justifier? God is the justifier, right? So what's my job, if I can use a little cheesy cliche? My job is, when I see someone who's broken, to send God some knee mail. Notice I didn't say email, but I said knee mail. Hey God, I see my brother and sister. They're struggling. Help them out. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't. So I'm just going to say, hey, God bless you. Because guess what? If you believe, you're not going to be ashamed. You got to believe that God's going to save you. And we got to get in there and we got to do that. And be justified and allow God to do that. It's interesting. Leviticus 5:5 says, so it shall be when he becomes guilty in one of these, that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. Many times, the reason why people need to be fixed is because they have sin in their lives and they haven't confessed it before God. And God cannot heal them. God cannot help them until they get that sin issue taken care of. And I remember my mom can be kind of brutal, typical, you know. When she says, hey Jim, don't pad the corners. If somebody's falling, don't get in the way of what God is doing, because God is trying to get their attention. And if their head doesn't smack on the ground as hard as it should, they might not turn to God. They might turn to you. So let them fall and just remind them, hey, you know what? God is there. You just want to confess this stuff. Let's get done with it. That's why the scripture says, if we see somebody who's caught in a trespass, caught in a sin, caught in an area that they shouldn't be, that we come alongside them in love and say, hey brother, hey sister, I notice you're struggling. Guess what? I know that God can take care of you. And my job is to send God some knee mail. I'm going to pray for you. And that's it. Well, how do I take care of this stuff? Confess it. Acknowledge it. And it's interesting, the Jewish mindset understands that confession of sin is accompanied by what? A sacrifice. When there was sin in a Jewish home, it was the Jewish man's responsibility to take that offering. To take the person that sinned with him and his family and say, come on, let's go. Let's go. And what they would do is they would lay their hands on the head of the sheep as the throat was slit by the priest. And they confessed their sins over that sheep. And some of you are thinking, ugh, that's kind of brutal. Well, if you think about this, don't you think the next time before they would commit a sin again, they'd be less inclined, hey, I don't want to do that, man. I had to, you know, that poor sheep had to die. Because they had that visualization of what? Who's the ultimate Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? Yeah. Can you imagine if before we sin, we actually saw what it was like, what Yeshua Jesus went through? The sacrifice that He made? I think we would probably think twice about it, right? Yeah, we would. But you know what? He did that because He loves us. He did that because He wants to fellowship with us. That's how much He loves us. So, when we've got this stuff that we need to be justified, who's the one who saves? Jesus, Yeshua, is the one who saves. Now, the next point of the scripture, it's some great logic here, but it says, how then can people call on someone who they have not believed? And how can they believe in someone they have not heard about? And how can they hear without somebody preaching? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet. Beautiful are the feet that bring the good news of justification by faith, right? Yeah. So here's the logic flow. A person can't call upon Yeshua for salvation if they don't have faith in Him. Right? How do people gain faith? Many times, isn't it through the testimony of watching somebody who does have faith in Yeshua? You know, we're going to learn in evangelism class today, it's 7.6 times is the average number that people need to hear the gospel before they say, hey, you know what, I'm going to make that confession, I'm going to have faith. They need to hear multiple testimonies that God is true. That's where it starts off at. And of course, Paul continues, a person can't believe in Yeshua if they've never heard about Him. And you know, one of the things that we're going to be talking about in class today is that we need to proclaim the gospel, the good news, as loud as we possibly can. And sometimes we use words. How do we declare that? By our actions, by how we behave, by following the Word of God, by loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our resources, by loving our neighbor as ourselves. You know, and many times, we get our sin suits on and we blow it. And I've heard many people who have blown it in front of people who aren't believers. But when they go back and apologize to them and get things right with them, that speaks a powerful testimony. And I think of Genesis 50:20, what was intended for evil, God has used for good to save many people alive. These words of death that I let slip because I wasn't in the right place. I was wrong. I take responsibility. Please forgive me. I apologize. Yeah, and what happens? The walls come down, right? And then the openness says, hey, this person's real. And many times I've heard of believers who do that. Eventually the person who has been offended comes to saving knowledge in Yeshua. And we're going to see that in the video. I don't know if it's today or next week when we look at the video about evangelism. But just how God can use horrible people and their testimony to build the faith in others. So, you can't call upon Yeshua for salvation if they don't have faith in Him, right? And if they can't believe in Yeshua if they've never heard about Him, they can't hear about Yeshua unless you share your testimony. This is what God has done. And that's why I'm so glad that we're really starting to hit heavy with not only the prayer requests, but with the praise reports. Because what is going to happen is in your day-to-day life, you're going to encounter somebody that comes across something that we have prayed for somebody else. And in that, you're going to hear the praise report of what happened to that person. And then when somebody says, hey, I'm struggling with X, Y, Z, you can say, you know what? We had someone in our congregation struggling with X, Y, Z, and this is what they did, and with their faith in God, God answered their prayer. And you know what? If God answers their prayer, He can answer your prayer too. But you got to start with step one. Whoever believes and calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And remember, we talked about this last week. Salvation is more than just saying a prayer, but we can call upon the Lord to save us from all sorts of stuff, right? Marines who haze us. Banks that are trying to collect from us, right? Dependency upon stuff, right? God can save us from all these things. God can save us from all these stuff. And that is our testimony. And of course, a person can't share their testimony unless they are charged with sharing the good news. Beautiful feet. It's good news, right? Isaiah 52. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Who announces what? Peace and brings good news of happiness. Who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Announces peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's where the peace comes from. It comes from God. And we bring the good news. We announce salvation. Yeshua has come. He's died. He's died for your sins. And guess what? He can take care of everything else. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what? We are charged to have beautiful feet. Everyone who claims to be a believer in the Messiah, you are supposed to have beautiful feet. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, until the ends of the earth." We are charged with being a witness for God. We have power to be a witness for God. Yeah. Well, Rabbi, are you sure about this witness stuff? Yes, I am. Because when I turn in the Torah to the Shema, which we'll look at next week in our Torah portion, that's part of that. Shema Israel, Hashem Eloheinu, Hashem Echad. The Shema, in where it says Shema, the Ayin is larger in the Torah scroll than the other letters. And you go down to Echad, and the Dalet at the end of Echad is larger than the other letters in the Torah scroll. Because when you have Ayin and Dalet together, Ed, it means witness. We are to bear witness to the Shema. And isn't salvation part of that? Isn't loving others part of sharing the gospel? Yeah. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you've got good news, or if your neighbor has good news, don't you want to hear the good news? Especially if the good news can help you in everything? Duh. So here's the challenge. First of all, you got to ask yourself this. Does God consider your feet beautiful as a witness for Him? And you know, and this is not time for us to go, oh, well, that person's got ugly shoes on, so their feet must be really ugly. No, you're not supposed to look at someone else's feet. Look at your own feet. Are you carrying the good news for Him? Or are you witnessing to something else? You know, and Carol, can I pick on you? Is that okay? Carol could have sat in the hospital and said, "Woe is me, I have an appendix problem. Man, I'm going to have to cancel my trip to Catalina. Da 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 da. No, 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 no. Oh, I'm going to focus on the negative. Oh, I'm being attacked. This is an assault. Right in my appendix, wherever it's located. Right in my appendix, wherever it's located." No. What did Carol say? "I'm here for a reason." She finds a Jewish man who's volunteering there and shares the good news of the Messiah. And with the miracle that took place, she's like, "Oh, I got to track this guy down. He lives somewhere in the farm area. Got to track this guy down. So I can tell him how Hashem has healed me. And if Hashem cares enough to heal my appendix, He definitely cares enough to make sure that my name is inscribed." But if she would have focused on the negative, salvation doesn't come through all that stuff, right? Salvation doesn't come through our past. Salvation comes through the who was, the who is, and the who is to come. So I'm going to ask you this question. What is keeping you from putting on your good news shoes? And there's a couple of things that came up. Pride, ignorance, fear. I think a lot of those things are really the most common things. I've got too much pride, I don't want to let people know. Or I don't want to give up all this junk because I like keeping it because it's my identity. No, don't keep the junk. Get rid of it. It's not your identity. Let's get rid of the pride. Ignorance. You know? That's something that a lot of people just like, "Oh, I don't know how to share my faith." But it's like, "Oh, hey, come to evangelism class." "Oh, not this week, Rabbi. I have whatever excuse. I've got this going on. The waves are 3 to 5. And the water temperature is 72 degrees. I need to go commune with God in the ocean." What? No. Let's learn the good news so we can go out and share it. Or fear. Aren't we afraid sometimes of the consequences? What happens if I say something? What is that person going to think of me? But when you really look at the big picture of all of it, it shouldn't matter what people's opinions are. It should matter what God's opinions are. We are called to be an Ed, a witness. We are called to be an Ed. Yeah. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and just bow our heads and close our eyes.